Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we find ourselves continuing in Mark's Gospel, and we come today to Mark's Gospel chapter 3. The incident of the man who is going to receive healing on the Sabbath day is what we find right at the beginning of the chapter. For some of the very strict Jews, this was a very controversial moment. They watched Jesus closely, we read, to see if this man with the withered hand, the shriveled hand, whether Jesus would heal him, knowing it was the Sabbath. You really think these people would have something better to do. But that's how they were, always vigilant, watching any opportunity to trip up Jesus as they saw it. They were up for that. They were eager for that. Well, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." And then he said, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" And of course, there was a lot of silence around, and there often was when Jesus said something clear and strong, because really and truly there wasn't an answer to his question. He looked around, and there was an anger in Jesus, because he just saw how petty they were, how they just were nitpicking. They were just trying to just find something huge out of something that was very small. No compassion, rigorous, relentless, tied in a very legalistic way to things. Not much life at all. He says to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Jesus had great compassion for the man. The fact that it was the Sabbath was really almost irrelevant. He was in need. He was obviously in some pain and discomfort. And Jesus was pleased to reach out to him. And as he stretches out his hand, the Bible says completely restored. It didn't get a little bit better. It was totally better. How did the Pharisees react to all this? Well, we read in verse 6, they went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. It's an incredibly sad state of affairs that instead of rejoicing in the man's healing, they want to get rid of Jesus. Well, after that, Jesus withdraws with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd, we read, from Galilee followed. This was always going to be a problem. Whenever Jesus did a miracle, there would be people who'd turn up, and sadly, they were just turning up hoping for miracles, but they were not really so concerned to listen to what Jesus taught. Well, there was a considerable crowd that gathered, and Jesus told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. The record is he'd healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. This is quite an intriguing aspect of the ministry of Jesus, because he clearly wanted to heal. He clearly had great compassion. But he was incredibly aware that if people just saw him as a healer, they'd miss the deeper things that he'd come to do. We're going to pause there. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me, and we'll look a little bit more deeply at Mark chapter 3.
Spirit, watch over me. Spirit, down to desperation when I feel I can't go on. Spirit, watch over me. When I'm reaching out for comfort and I feel so far from home, Spirit, watch over me. Dear Lord, help me remember the promises you give, of a love so warm and tender and a strength to help me live. When I'm reaching out for comfort and I feel so far from home, Spirit, watch over me. Spirit, watch over me. When I'm asking your forgiveness and I offer up my prayers, Spirit, watch over me. Dear Lord, you are so wonderful, much more than I deserve. Spirit, watch over me. Dear Lord, help me remember the promises you give, of a love so warm and tender, and a strength to help me live. In times of desperation, when I feel I can't go on, Spirit, watch over me.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about these verses from Mark chapter 3. Richard, this really begins raising the subject of Sabbath observance and the importance of that. And really, Sabbath observance has been an issue in the church almost ever since this, hasn't it? And yet, in many ways, Jesus is quite clear about what the Sabbath should be for. Why has it become such an issue, do you think, with many people over the years?
I think it's really the way people approach it, that there is this very legalistic approach which is trying to suggest that there's something about keeping the rules, doing what you're told to do. And of course, Jesus never contradicted that, but he was looking as to what was behind it. Why were things put in place? Not just that they were in place. Why? What was the benefit? What was the purpose? And in fact, he makes it clear in another place that the Sabbath was made for our benefit. And therefore, though, of course, it's good and right to set aside time to worship God, it does us good to look after ourselves, to have some discipline in our lives. That was totally lost in the passage that we're looking at today.
Because as people, I suppose, we want to have rules and ways of going about things, and you know, we want to see clearly the right and wrong, if you like. But Jesus is almost saying with regard to Sabbath that it's a judgment you have to make for yourself.
Well, I think certainly in terms of situations that crop up, Jesus is giving freedom. That he talks about the ox falling into the pit in another place. Here he's talking about the man with the shriveled hand. And he's saying, when these situations occur, you've got to be sensible. You've got to think about what is the important matter in this moment. And that's why he reaches out to the man.
Now, obviously, the Pharisees come in for quite a lot of criticism from Jesus here and in many other places as well. Why were they so anti what Jesus was trying to do, to such an extent that they would plot to kill him?
In some ways, I think that's difficult to answer, because it does seem incredible. Why would you want to destroy somebody who's just brought enormous relief and comfort to a man who perhaps had been stricken for some time with this problem? I guess that the root of it is the absolute stubborn refusal to acknowledge that God had come in human flesh. This was something that the prophets had predicted, a Messiah would come, but they just couldn't really get their heads around it. And the fact that things might even suggest that Jesus was the Messiah was too much for them, and therefore the easy way was to try and get rid of him.
The other issue that comes out in this passage is Jesus' healing ministry, and it obviously played a very big part in his earthly ministry, but that would always run the risk of people coming to him, as you said, simply because they were seeking healing rather than anything deeper.
Well, yes, that's right. But again, this is where even Jesus is balancing things out. He could have said, well, I won't heal anybody. But he chooses to heal because it was an act of tremendous compassion. We need to remember in those times especially, the availability of any medical help was fairly slim and probably very expensive.
Yeah.
And therefore, Jesus in great compassion reaches out time and time again, but it is always going to attract a crowd.
Yeah. Okay, Richard, well, we'll see how this story pans out as we look at the rest of Mark in future, but for now, thank you very much. So join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.